This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, how's the Commissioner of Dirt today?
The Commissioner of Dirt was hot in the parking lot, but it's a whole lot cooler in this studio, I'll tell you.
Says it's 90 out there.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Seems like it was 116 or something like that.
Oh, I love it. I don't like 116, but I like it warmer.
Go out and lay in the blacktop for an hour and see how you feel.
Yeah, melt my clothes in the parking lot.
Yeah, then it would be a tragedy.
Depending on who's, never mind.
Never mind. Well, thank you for listening. This is a show, hopefully, to educate people about their lawns, their gardens, their plants, trees, shrubs, etc. And if you have a question, please call me at 673-4464. Ask your question. I'll give you an answer. And 99% of the time, I'll be right. And yep. So that's why they call me Mike Wright. That was my nickname.
I see.
A while ago. Oh, Mike Wright.
That's your middle name.
I know. 673-4464. I hope you're enjoying the heat, because I'm not. When it gets above 80, it's, you know, that's all she wrote for me, baby. Oh, gosh. Well, this past weekend, we went on a little trip, my wife and I. We went to Reno, Nevada.
Really?
Yes, to visit the in-laws.
Oh, you didn't go down to gamble?
No, I don't go gambling. I mean, it's a gamble just to drive around Roseburg, and you don't lose any money.
Hey, we got a phone call right
off
the bat here.
All right, good.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
I've got a question about a house plant somebody gave me.
Uh-huh.
It's, I don't know what the real name of it is. She called it an angel's wings. It has oval, dark green leaves with kind of grayish brown spots on it.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath the leaves, some of them are kind of pinkish. And it's got little teeny flowers, kind of heart-shaped, just very small pink ones. So anyway, the question is, the tips of some of these leaves are a little brown on the ends. What do you think that could be from?
Is it a real small plant or fairly large, or is it in a larger pot or a smaller pot?
It was in a glass of water when I got it.
Oh, gosh.
I put it in a pot. It's growing real well. It's about 6 inches tall. It's got a lot of really vigorous-looking leaves on it.
Uh-huh.
But just the tips of some of them are turning dry and brown.
Uh-huh. Well, if you took it out of a glass of water and put it in a pot, there's, you know, some shock associated with that kind of a transplant. And so consequently, mm-hmm. you're going to have some browning leaves. But if the new growth is vibrant and looks good, I'd say the plant is okay. Does the little pot have drain holes?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, have you felt the soil and seen how wet it is, or how often do you water it?
I use a moisture meter on it, and I water it about twice a week. And the potting soil doesn't seem to have much substance to it. It drains real fast.
That's good. That's a good thing, because that way you can't overwater, hopefully. But do you feel the soil in the pot before you water, prior to watering?
No, I generally haven't been feeling it. I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, stick your finger down there, and if it feels moist, you're okay. You don't have to do anything with it. And it's probably going through some transplant shock. You don't want to love it, okay? You don't, mm-hmm. you know, water is not the best thing to do with a newly transplanted, especially indoor plant. So keep it barely damp. Don't give it any fertilizer for a while. And when you do give it fertilizer, get indoor houseplant fertilizer, and it comes in a small, maybe a pint jar or something like that, and you mix it with water, and you water it in that way. and just maybe once a month give it a little bit and see, you know, see what happens. But in the meantime, the leaves that are starting to look brown and ugly, go ahead and take some sharp scissors and just cut them off, because that way the energy from the root system can go to the brand new growth, and it doesn't have to try to keep these other leaves alive. So there's always some damage, there's always some shock when you're transplanting things like that, and indoor plants are a little more susceptible to transplant shock, especially when you take them out of a glass of water and stick them in soil, you know what I'm saying?
I do know, yeah. Okay. That sounds like good advice then.
Pardon
okay.
me? Okay. Okay.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate
okay.
It.
Well, you know, do what I said, and then if when there's improvement, call me back and let me know. Or if it dies, call me back and let me know. And do you know what the name of the plant is?
No, I really don't know okay. what it is.
Okay. All right. Well, bring it here to the radio station on Wednesday. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Alrighty. Meanwhile, back in Reno.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went there to visit all my sisters-in-law.
Oh.
Brothers-in-law.
Fun.
That's our once-a-year trip so my wife can go down and see her family.
Mm-hmm.
Because those yahoos in Reno don't ever come up and see us. So, and I tell them that, too, right to their face.
There, yeah.
Yeah, when are you people ever going to, you know, the road goes both ways.
Yeah.
And you guys need to get out of town once in a while and come see us out in the countryside. So, but we had a good time, and
nice.
They're all good cooks. Yeah, Italian. They're all half Italians, you know.
Any of them not married?
No, they're all pretty much taken up.
Darn it, I missed out again.
yeah, they're pretty much taken up. But we had a great time.
Cool.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about their where they live here in my radio show. But anyway. But it's really a neat place. Reno has expanded so big and so fast, and Sparks is just amazing. It's a huge place now. It's a huge city. I remember where the subdivisions are now that you see out on the edge of town.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when that was all sagebrush.
Oh, wow.
You know, back when I was a teenager,
yeah,
it was all sagebrush and stuff like that. Ain't no more sagebrush anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, there are houses and lawns and landscaping all the way to the mountains.
Jeez.
And that's kind of what this, I kind of made a list. My wife and I walked around their subdivision,
mm-hmm,
and made a list of what types of plants were there, because it's a it's a pretty harsh climate. It's hot and dry in the summer and cold and snowy and freezing in the winter. And I was surprised at how many plants that are used in their landscaping down there we have here in Douglas County.
Wow.
And this is just a short list. I think there's about 20 items on that one.
Yeah,
I'll talk about that
okay.
in a little bit.
Cactus by a lot of...
Well, there's not many cactus growing out there.
It's really?
Too cold for cactus.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the summer's fine with them. They'll live all summer, but as soon as that first snowstorm whaps them,
yep,
you know, that's all she wrote.
They're out of here.
They're out of here. They're gone. But my in-laws, let's see, my wife's grandfather basically homesteaded in Elko, Nevada. Came from Italy to Elko, yeah, way back in like 1896 or something like that. And when Elko was a small teeny town way out in the middle of nowhere,
not even a one horse town.
Well, they had one horse, I think.
One,
yeah,
okay.
But that's about it. They all shared the same horse. But that's really harsh country out there as far as weather is concerned. The summers are not as hot as like Reno and Sparks, but it's a little bit higher elevation, and it gets colder than all you can imagine in the winter, and it'll have snow for, you know, a month or so, you know, and it ain't shallow snow. It's pretty deep.
Nice.
In the middle of the desert, but there's a lot of mountains around there. The Ruby Mountains are just, they're gorgeous. They're just the short range of Ruby Mountains. They go up 10,000-11,000 feet, something like that.
Wow.
And they're always snow-capped. They're really, really, really pretty. But getting back to the the plants and the landscaping in the high desert of Nevada, you know, the shrubs and the trees that are used in all of these areas And it's like 4,000 foot elevation right in there. And like I said, it's ice cold, snowy winters and hot and dry summers. You know, so you get the worst of both seasons.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of spring and a little bit of fall that sneaks in there once a year, but that's about it. But what surprised me, and it's so well landscaped. I mean, they have spent so much money on landscaping, on everything in that whole community. Mm. And the whole city, both cities are just the commercial places, the stores, the even gas stations have, you know, exotic, not exotic landscaping, but they're very well landscaped. It's very attractive in that respect. It doesn't,
wow.
And it doesn't look like some brand new subdivision, you know, that we built here in Oregon. And you know, it's, I think they have rules that you buy over here a brand new house, you better have it landscaped within the next, you know, year or whatever. They probably give you a time limit there.
Yeah, or you're out of here.
But yeah. And there's you wouldn't believe all the golf courses there.
Oh, sure.
And when
makes
and when
sense.
their community is, where my sister-in-law's community is, they're adjacent to a golf course. It just kind of wraps around the backside of all the homes. And so
do they golf?
Oh yeah, my brother-in-law golfs. He's a golf nut, but he's got a great job. He's a chauffeur.
Oh, okay.
From,
nice.
I think Harold's Club. And he chauffeurs rich guys all over the place. And he drives this big black limo. He looks like a mafia don with his coat and tie. He has to wear, you know, coat and tie and all that.
Yeah.
And these high rollers from everywhere in the world come in and they say, well, we want to go to Lake Tahoe. And so my brother-in-law drives him to Lake Tahoe, which is, you know, a good hour away or so, and to the, whatever casino or hotel they want to go to. And then sometimes he picks up another client up in Tahoe and brings him back to Reno so they can go to the airport and catch flights. He told me he makes good tips. He's got an hourly wage, but he makes really great
good tips.
Yeah.
Pays for his gas.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but the landscaping, you know, like I say, this I've been there many, many times over the years, and but this trip, like I say, was I want to see what types of plants they have, because they're just everywhere along the boulevards, along the streets, everywhere it's landscaped. And Reno's plant materials are just like what we have here in Douglas County. And so my wife and I, we took a walk one day just around the adjacent neighborhood, looking at the different plants that were growing in the yards.
Yeah.
And like I say, they could have all come from Douglas County, or those down there could have come to Douglas County. And our weather patterns are so different. You know, we don't have the extremes they have, but these plants, they have, who's looking in here?
A passerby, a homeless person.
Oh, a homeless person. You keep looking out there.
Yeah, I know.
But I made a short list, or my wife made a short list of when we're walking around. A lot of clematis vines blooming everywhere, and you know, they have those big, beautiful flowers, and they're good for climbing up fences and things like that, or up onto your roof and getting plugged in your gutters, that kind of thing. Russian sage is another plant. Barberry, lots of lilacs. I mean, it's like lilacs everywhere. And then blue spruces are big down in that country, and blue Atlas cedars are big. Aspens are big. Birches, flowering trees, flowering pear, flowering cherry, those kinds of things. And there's daylilies. Everybody's got like 50 daylilies and roses in their yard.
Yeah, right. Well, roses.
They grow in Siberia, for crying out loud.
Even China.
Yeah, even China. In Siberia, China, what's the
same
difference?
Same thing.
But both places are cold.
Yes.
But, you know, these ornamental grasses, that's a big thing down there, and it's a big thing here. Rose of Sharon, lavender, privet, smoke trees, lots of different pines and conifers.
Oh.
I even saw Deodar cedars down there that were looking good. And honeysuckles, trumpet vines, and it just goes on and on and on. I thought, geez Louise, every one of these things could grow well in Douglas County. And I was just surprised and impressed that we have the same type of plant materials with such adverse climate conditions here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get quite as hot. It gets hot there. It was probably high 80s, low 90, maybe, when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what's it out there today about?
90, it says 91.
91, it seems a lot hotter. I mean, that's what they call a dry heat.
Yeah.
Ours is a humid.
It's real heat.
It's real heat, yes. Do we have a break?
We do.
You got your finger on the trigger. Right?
Yep, we got a break. We'll be right back with more Reno talk.
Yeah, well, maybe.
What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game. Don't hesitate to call. I got an answer.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. Are we going to go back to Reno?
Yeah, we'll go back a little bit to Reno.
Okay.
And some of the observations that I made there. And one thing I noticed is that most landscapes were overplanted.
Mm.
They had trees too close together, uh-oh, shrubs, where you could put, you know, five shrubs in a bed. They had, you know, 10 or 15,
mm-hmm,
you know, to make them look full right off the bat, that kind of thing. Because
right,
these are pretty much upscale homes. I don't know, you know, $200,000 a pop, you know.
Jeez.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not abnormal, even here in Douglas County. You
that's
know?
True. That's kind of the average price.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
And there may be others. Well, one of my nephews bought a place in Sparks, on the edge of Sparks, and he paid $400,000 for that.
Mm.
But it had an acre of ground with
it.
So, you know, it was, and the house wasn't brand new by any stretch of the imagination, but it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
From the photos we saw.
It's been established.
It's been established. But it, like I say, it had at least an acre, maybe a little bit more, and it was all fenced so you could have a horse there.
Nice.
That kind of thing. And I guess I can understand that kind of price for something right on the edge of town or in the city limits. But most of the yards that you saw were not as large as what we have here on average in Douglas County or mm-hmm, in Roseburg. We have larger yards.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah, in that respect.
Yeah.
I mean, they and all the yards, they weren't, you know, tiny, but they were smaller and a lot easier to take care of and probably less to landscape. I don't know what the prices are down there. I never called anybody, but but like I said, most of the landscapes were overplanted. Too many trees, too close mm-hmm together, and that's along the, you know, they got the, like, their Garden Valley, their version of Garden Valley Boulevard, four, you know, two lanes this way, two lanes that way.
Yeah.
And then they have a planting strip on both sides and then a sidewalk and then houses behind that. So in this planting strip that's well landscaped, they've got trees probably, gosh, 15 feet apart, maybe 20 feet apart. And these are fairly good sized trees. And I'm thinking, you know, in not too many years, somebody's gonna make a pot full of money doing the pruning on all of these things, and it's gonna take a while because you can go a quarter of a mile and there might be 200 trees in that
a
mile. And I'm going, like,
that's a lot of trees.
Yeah, it's like I say, it looks good right now. It's
mm-hmm,
you know, first class right now, but you know, the maintenance is so...
It's coming up.
It's coming up, baby, you know. And like I say, for the most part, it was very attractive, well done in that respect. But like 10 years from now, who knows what the heck that place is going to look like. So, it's an amazing ongoing building process down there. You know, places that were desert and sagebrush 10 and 15 years ago there's 200 or 300 houses and several parks and a shopping, big shopping center in the middle of it.
There's a big old Walmart there.
Oh, well, I guess they had that. I didn't, they have a big one on the hill. It's like their world headquarters or something. But, you know, there's houses surrounding, and then there's like the Pyramid Lake Highway that goes out to Pyramid Lake. They live off of that. And there's a very large shopping center there. But, you know, like I say, there must be 500, 600 houses, you know, surrounding that area. So it's very,
Jeez,
it's amazing.
It's almost as big as Sutherland in one area.
Yeah, exactly. And my biggest question was, and I asked my my brother-in-law, I said, where do you get the water to be able to sustain the right. homes and the landscaping and the parks and everything else? And he said, Pyramid Lake and Lake Tahoe. Hmm. Yeah, so I don't know how long that will be good for.
Yeah, but.
You know, if they didn't
one get, extreme drought.
Yeah, but if they didn't get the snow in the winter that they
that's
get,
right.
Then they would really be hurting. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've ever had any water rationing down there. But if they did, a lot of those landscapes would be hard pressed to survive. So.
Oh yeah.
It's, but like I said, it's what is there now is very well. It's very attractive. It's very well done. The work is, I didn't see any shoddy work at all. I mean, it was pristine,
professional,
very professional, and see a lot of landscape crews out there doing work. I'll tell you, boy.
There you go. There's your new business.
No, thank you. I am retired.
Go down there and show them how it's done.
Yeah. But anyway, then I was thinking, gosh, this landscaping around here makes Disneyland look like a desert, for crying out loud. But landscape is a very big business in Reno, and they've got some big nurseries there as well. And I'm amazed at how much they do have in that community.
Wow.
Because of the climate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the climate is not like our climate. We're a pretty well moderate climate. We get the occasional snow and the occasional heavy duty freeze. They get it every year like mm-hmm. clockwork, you know.
They know it's coming.
Yeah. But like I said, they got a lot of tough stuff. Blue spruce, very tough tree. It grows in Colorado wild, you know. Pine trees and the surrounding mountains around Reno, like out towards Lake Tahoe or Truckee or even to the north a little bit into California. You know, a lot of pines. Not as thick as our Douglas fir, because there's only so much moisture that can support those kinds of trees. But it's good. Now, one thing I saw was it's similar to our area is lawns. They were having problems. A lot of them having problems with lawns with brown patch.
Ah.
My brother-in-law, his house that we stayed at, he said, nobody could tell me what these brown things are for. So I said, I'll tell you. And I walked around on it for about a minute and a half. And I says, well, first of all, it needs to be thatched. It needs to be aerated. And you need to get fertilized and on a good watering schedule. And I, you know, explained.
And he said, what's that?
No, he kind of knew.
Oh.
Kind of. But I said, that's what's, and as I walked down the street, because one sister-in-law lives on one street, and then two streets over, the older sister-in-law lives there.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, so we'd walk the street, and I'd just check out the landscapes as we're going, you know.
Thinking, sure. Oh,
what's wrong with that?
Why this is a candy store.
Why don't you fix your lawn, lady? But they have grubs, they have worms, they have lawn diseases. You know, they have all the things that we have here in Douglas County along those lines.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is, but those bugs are tough. But, you know, that's when you walk across a lawn and it feels bouncy and soft, mm-hmm. you know you need to have it thatched. You know, to remove that dead grass from underneath because... Like I say, when the water hits thatch, it runs off. It does not penetrate the thatch. Yeah. And so consequently, the roots are dry. And so consequently, the lawn turns a little bit yellow in some
places. That's not a good thing.
some places, brown. And you can go ahead and fertilize it without thatching, but then you have to dump so much water on it that only a portion of that fertilizer will get through the thatch. The rest of it runs onto the sidewalk and stains the sidewalks.
Oh, that's a waste.
Yeah, it is a waste, but that's okay. It's their sidewalks, I don't know. But my point in all this, my main point was noting the hardiness of the plants in such a different climate than we have here in Douglas County. So my education was expanded.
There you go.
So don't tell me this plant won't grow in Douglas County. I know it'll grow in Reno, for crying out loud. One plant that was exceptional down there were the roses. Everywhere that there were roses, man, they were in full bloom. They looked good. They looked healthy. And like I say, they were almost in every landscape, whether it was a business or a home or whatever.
Can't seem to get rid of those.
No, I mean, everybody likes roses. What's wrong with them? I don't know. And the other things I noted a lot of were lilacs, lavender, daylilies, and a few other of those things. And again, they are our standard good anchor plants here in Douglas County or Medford or Eugene or Portland, etc.
Yeah.
But there they are down there, you know.
Cool.
And like I say, the lawns, there were not devastated, but you could tell that they hadn't been thatched or aerated or, you know, those kinds of things, simply because that's what happens when you see it around here. You'll see a lawn that's maybe 1,000 square feet, and somewhere out on the edge or in the middle, or you'll see a fairly good sized brown spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means that it's not, the water's not penetrating, or there's some grubs down there, so you treat it that way.
Yeah.
But it's only from not, oftentimes it's not soil prep. I don't know what they use for topsoil down there, because like I say, it's a sandy base. It's a desert, for crying out loud. High desert, but it's still a desert. So it's sand. I mean, sand, and little stonies and little rocks in there too.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have to add a lot of compost material to it. So I'm sure that's a pretty big business there. But once they get that under control, they'll. And I'm surprised that with all of the businesses they have down there, that more of that isn't done.
And there
may be, because there's homes down there that are $1 million, multi-million-dollar homes on the different hills and stuff like that.
Trump style.
Yeah, Trump's, well, not quite Trump style, but close, some of them, especially as you get up to Lake Tahoe and on the outskirts of Reno on some of those hills. We got a break?
We do.
Okay, I'll be back.
All right. Still, to be fair, I suppose Biden style too. We got to keep it fair.
Oh, yes. Okay.
What's our
balanced
phone? Balanced. There you go. Our phone number,
673-4464 is our number if you have a question.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. Are we still in Reno? Or?
Well, I'm going to finish up Reno here pretty quick. So, I've been talking about my weekend journey to Reno to visit my in-laws and comparing their landscaping to our landscapes. And I was really amazed at how similar they all were and how overplanted they were down in Reno, but maybe that's their style, and the more the merrier, I guess. And but what they do create when they do that is long-term lots of maintenance to maintain the plants that they've planted. And most homeowners are not on that page of sophistication with how plants grow, and they depend on the experts, the local experts, or the contractor to make sure that everything works and looks good, and they all look good, but I didn't get into any of the some of the older parts of town as we drove through to see, I forget, one of the other relatives. And we were driving through, and you can see some of the older neighborhoods that have been there for, 30, 40 years. Very large trees in their yards. But they like shade down there. That's a high desert country, and in the summer it can get fairly warm. And every day at 90, 95, something like that for a while. And they did it for shade purposes, and I can understand that. But eventually what happens is you have a catastrophe on your hands simply because you got too many trees too close together, and it's a major project to take one out or to thin out a grove of trees and take away some of your shade, but then that which is left gets bigger and hopefully better and has more room to grow, and it's easier to maintain as well. So the I guess the bottom line in landscape maintenance, whether it's in Reno or Douglas County, is to pay attention to your yard and to monitor the watering schedule, the growing schedule, the fertilization schedule, if you want your yard to look good. And don't overplant, for crying out loud, if you're doing it yourself. And if you hire a professional, question that professional. Let's say he wants to do this, this, and this, and recommends this, this, and this, and even draws draws a plan and shows the amount of plants, etc. Always question them as well. How big will that get? How big will that particular shrub get? Or how big will that tree grow? How tall will that grow? And will it grow over my roof and cause me problems plugging up my gutters or dropping branches on my roof and those kinds of things? Those are important things to know, and you can avoid catastrophe in the future by doing this and expensive repair things that you might have to do. And that occurs, this overplanting thing and planting too close to structures happens everywhere. And, you know, sometimes when a homeowner who has no experience with trees and as far as how they grow, how large they grow, how fast they grow, goes to a nursery or one of the box stores and buys X amount of trees for shade because he's got very little shade. They want a shady backyard or a shady front yard, and they'll plant them. And they'll think, well, I got it, you know, 20 feet from the house or 15 feet from the house. That's far enough because I want shade on my patio or I want shade on my front porch. But they don't know in the long term, and they're not thinking about what the long term is, maybe 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road, how large that particular tree is going to be and what kind of problems or situations you're going to have, because if you bring in a professional to prune it and to keep its size manageable, it's going to cost a few bucks to do that. But then once you start that process, you have to continue that process over the years, you know, not every year, but at least every 3 years or so, maybe 4 years, you need to take some of that, some of those branches down, some of that foliage out. And if you don't do that, you could have a catastrophe in a windstorm where a major branch breaks and goes through your roof. So those are all things to look at and to research when you are planting or contemplating a landscape in your yard and redoing the yard, however it is. But it's and that's all part of the maintenance factor too. So do your research, and if you go to a nursery or a box store or whatever and you see particular trees, write them down and take your list home and actually do the research and say, huh, how big is this thing going to get and how quickly will it get there, and then make your decisions based on what the literature tells you. The literature may not be 100% right depending on climatic conditions or rates of watering and moisture level, etc., but it'll give you a good basic idea and say, oh, I better not have that within 10 or 15 feet of the house. I better have her out 25 or 30 feet if mm-hmm. I got the room, and I can enjoy the shade, and it's gonna take a little while to shade the area I want, but I'm not going to have a major catastrophe down the road there, 15 yeah. years, or the next guy that moves in there, mm-hmm. you sell it, and they go, oh, what a beautiful yard, it's nice and shady. Well, he or she may not have the experience of looking at a tree critically and yeah. saying, oh my gosh, that thing is going to be a nightmare, or it's going to cost me a bundle to prune it, or I need to take it out. So
that's
those are
shame.
All good ideas.
Never, no, do that. I'm not a tree hugger, but I hate to see a tree come down.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I've taken some down that fit the criteria I'm talking about in the course of my professional life and said, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Mm. And Kyle, for instance, mm-hmm. our star of the show here.
Our leader.
Our leader. in his backyard, I've done work for him for 15, 20 years, pruning, and once every other year I go to his yard and take care of it. Mm-hmm. He's got one tree in his backyard, and I don't know if he planted it or it was there, but he's got this one limb that goes up over his roof, up to about the middle of his roof in his backyard.
Oh, no.
And I've recommended that he prune that
and
get rid of it. It's not going to hurt the tree at all. but if it breaks, it's going to do some damage to the gutters or maybe some of the shingles or something like that.
Right.
And actually, it was planted, I would say within 8 feet, maybe 10 feet of the house. So that's the kind of thing I'm advising folks to avoid.
Right. What kind of tree is it?
I don't know. Believe it or not, I don't know. If I was standing there, I could tell you. But right now, I can hardly picture it because there's it's not something that's common. I know that. And I'm thinking, what is that? You ask Kyle. He'll know, I hope.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Sounds like it's a good shade tree.
Oh, yeah, but he doesn't need it. Because on his in the western part of his backyard, there his neighbor, on the other side of the fence has these huge. I think they're maples, or they're 50, 60 feet tall, and they provide all the shade you want in the world. And if one of them fell down, it'd flatten Kyle's house. Because the yards are small.
Yeah.
And whoever planted them had a good idea, I guess, privacy or whatever. But Kyle benefits from the shade of those in his backyard.
Okay.
And he's got a deck out in his backyard that he can sit there and
enjoy.
And not get burnt by the western sun, in the evening or
some
in the
guys
afternoon.
Have all the luck.
I know.
Shall we take a break here?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All righty. We'll be right back. And our phone number,
673-4464. Don't hesitate to call. I love people to call.
Absolutely. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back in the final home stretch already. Can you believe that, Mike?
Home stretch.
Wow.
Okay.
And the phone number again.
673-4464.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, just a little bit on gardens, vegetable gardens, that I wanted to share with you and I don't think a lot of people are aware that they can do this, but maybe you are, and I'm making a mistake. But anyway, most home gardens are planted in the spring, April, May, whenever the weather is
finally changing.
Finally changing, and there's no frost or anything like that. And and you usually have, when you would plant them, say, April, May, you usually have fresh veggies of some sort in June and July.
Mm-hmm.
And by September, it's like all done almost.
Yep.
I mean, pretty much. But consider this. Plant a second vegetable garden like in August and take advantage of our prolonged growing season. And, we normally have warm weather, clear into October. And it doesn't take that long for, tomatoes or peppers or anything like that to ripen when it's warm.
When it yes.
And
they love it.
You'll be amazed at how quickly you'll have a second garden in the same year and still be eating fresh veggies clear into the fall.
So love it.
We have
a phone call.
We got a phone call. Great.
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon there. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon. Hey. Had a tree question. You guys have been talking quite a bit about trees, and I thought I'd throw this out there. I have quite a few oak trees, surprisingly, and large growths of mistletoe, and I never knew that was an issue, but recently somebody told me that the mistletoe actually contributes to choking off the tree or killing it, and I wasn't sure if that was true, and if so, what I could do to maybe stop that. I don't know if there is anything or not.
Well, mistletoe is a parasite, and I've seen very large old oak trees that have, you know, quite a mistletoe population. You can clean them by hand if you want. I don't know of a spray that'll work. There probably is, but you'd have to spray the whole tree. And when it's this hot this time of year, that's not an advisable thing to do. But in the fall, after it cools off, maybe you could contact a tree company that does spraying. They have a boom truck and all that kind of stuff where they can get up close and spot spray the stuff. But it's not something that's going to kill the oak tree, because like I've seen, oak trees that are 3 feet in diameter and 50 feet tall and have quite a few branches full of mistletoe. And they look healthy, and even though mistletoe, like I say, is a parasite, it's not draining the tree's energy to the point where the tree dies from it. So I don't know if that helps you or not.
No, that's perfect. I just, like I said, I thought I'd get the expert take on it, so I appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Bye-bye.
All right.
Good afternoon.
Thanks. I never knew that mistletoe was a parasite.
Yeah, that's why they hold it over women's heads and you kiss them.
Oh, I want to go somewhere, but I can't.
Okay, well, don't. Stay here. You got to run this board. I'm not.
No, I meant, well, never mind.
But I was talking about fall gardens
prior
to that phone call. And like I say, plant a second vegetable garden. Plant it in August, end of July, because in 6 weeks, which is September, say, you're getting fresh tomatoes or fresh peppers or fresh zucchini, for crying out loud.
Yay.
You can't kill a good zucchini no matter how hard you try.
It's kind of like the rose.
Yeah, kind of like them roses. But you can prolong, you can prolong your growing season. You can have a second crop of fresh vegetables, and that second crop is coming on as the first crop is starting to diminish a little bit. It hasn't quit totally or anything like that, but it as the plants in the first part of the garden get a little older, the plants get a little more spindly, and they're not as quite as productive. You got the new stuff coming on.
You got the youngins coming on.
Yeah, they're coming on. They're coming on strong. Because like I say, we usually have a fairly warm, sunny winter clear into October. And the second crop, of course, could be like tomatoes, peppers, squash, cabbage, beets, onions, garlic, carrots, just us to name a few. If I didn't hit your favorite vegetable, put your favorite vegetable in there. But a fall garden is easier to take care of. Number one, the weather is a little cooler.
Cooler, yes.
But we still have a lot of sun. And number two, less water is needed for a good crop.
Yeah.
Because if it's a little cooler, you get out of the July, August thing,
yeah.
A lot of the heat, and the plants still are warm enough and it's still sunny enough to grow. But you're not going to use as much water as you did for the first, getting the first thing going in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are less weeds to control, contend with, because you've already done it once and you got them under control. And you'll have to, the only setback that I could see is you have to use seeds. You'll have to get seeds because most box stores and nurseries won't have veggie plants available that time of year. There may be a few. We always did it when I owned Wintergreen. We always had a few in the little 4-inch pot that most veggies come in.
Mm-hmm.
After a while they get root bound and start looking poor. So we put them in like a gallon container, repot them, and they'd just go gangbusters, and they'd be beautiful, and they'd be actually have tomatoes or peppers on them. People will come in and you know, June, July, and say, wow, man, I didn't know you could do that. And they'd buy those. But otherwise, the little ones, if you find any little ones in the small containers, don't waste your money. Because they're on the edge, you know, they're barely staying alive. But you might be able to, you might be successful. So, but and anyway, you want to start small to see, you know, what's going to do well.
Sure.
And just, you know, just a few things, like if you're a rookie, a few tomatoes, a few peppers, maybe some onions, maybe some garlic. And if you get, you know, good results, hey, the next year coming up, you can have a better plan and say, yeah, I know I can grow this, and mm-hmm. this, and I know what it'll do, so I can enlarge or plant them closer together, or, you know, you'll get a little bit. Yeah. And one of the things I know that'll do well year-round almost is potatoes. You can't hurt a potato. I had some of last year's potatoes come back up again this year.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And they're gorgeous. And there's a lot of potatoes in there.
You know, I planted some out in the back porch area, and I haven't seen any, but I haven't looked either. So,
well,
they're probably there.
In the ground or in a pot?
In the ground.
Oh, okay. Well, you ought to go out in the backyard and take a look, man.
Probably.
There's probably an order of French fries waiting for you.
The landlord's probably going, what is this?
But, you know, if you start, like, even in mid or late August, you can be eating fresh veggies by October or sooner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And not too many people really realize that, you know, here in Douglas County especially, you can do that kind of thing.
You have summer all year round.
Yeah, it's easy. Not all year round, but, you know.
Pretty close.
Yeah, right. Pretty close.
When in doubt, it counts.
Okay. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned something, and I'll have some more information next week, maybe.
All right. Where are your travels going to take you next week?
I don't know.
Don't know. It's
maybe
a mystery.
Maybe I'll go to Bandon and have some fish and chips. I don't know.
There you go. All right. The Afternoon Report is next with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.